We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is my pleasure to say hello to Danny Edwards. Danny, I'm going to need two shows to cover your whole life here. But you recently came out with a book called Driven, the Danny Edwards Story. You won 5 PGA Tour titles. You won a title in Formula Ford Racing. And here we are at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the PGA Championship. And you've spent quite a lot of time here. So let's start with that. You caddied here at Southern Hills in the 70s. You played here in the 1977 U.S. Open, the 1982 PGA Championship. So you have quite a long history here in Southern Hills.
Yes, I started coming here in college. Of course, I grew up in Edmond, Oklahoma, and went to school at Oklahoma State where I played my college golf. So we weren't very far away, and got a chance to come over here and caddy in that PGA Championship 1970, and just started a great kind of love affair with beautiful Southern Hills.
So what do you think of the Gil Hance and Jim Wagner renovation to restore Perry Maxwell's masterpiece?
Well, you know, I'm not a golf architect, but it sure looks like it's been very well received. I know those guys are really good, and listening to some of their discussions about what they did and why they did it really made a lot of sense. And you know, the trees when I first came here, you know, almost like 50 years ago, were big then, but of course now they're the ones that are they left are even bigger. So you don't get the feeling that they took out very many trees, although they took out a lot, because it's still very well guarded and a beautiful, beautiful undulating piece of landscape that just has blended into a fabulous golf course.
They took out a lot of rough and put in more bunkers, greenside bunkers.
They did. They moved bunkers around, reshaped them like the original shaping of the bunker kind of has the craggy edges and all, instead of being smooth and round. I've walked around the course the last few days, and it's just beautiful. It's interesting, the runoffs and the way the greens are kind of you know, like a pincushion a little bit, and it's going to require some really good shot making.
So I understand your roommate back in the day caddied for Ben Hogan here.
Yes, my roommate over here caddied for Ben Hogan. Mr. Hogan came and played two rounds, but the weather was horribly hot. It was from 105 to 110. Mr. Hogan played two practice rounds and decided to withdraw. So he gave my friend his caddy his Ben Hogan cap, a $100 bill, and he signed his Ben Hogan cap. So I think that Ben Hogan cap's probably worth a whole lot more than $100 now.
Well, what a history you've had. You were one of the top amateurs in the game before you turned pro. As I mentioned, 5 PGA Tour titles. Talk a little bit about your background, because you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth.
No, I grew up in a town where there was no golf, Edmond, Oklahoma, 5,000 people, just north of Oklahoma City. No golf courses, and I was a baseball and basketball player growing up. Had no idea what golf was. Saw some guys chipping balls around or hitting balls in the old high school football field over the summer. Asked them what they were doing, and they said, come on over and we'll show you how to hit a golf ball. So I did, and I was just captivated by that ball. When you hit it on that club and it took off, I thought, that is the coolest thing. So I had a friend, very good friend, who was on the basketball team with me, who played golf with his father. He and his father played. And so I had a chance to kind of watch Paul, and he kind of made a few suggestions. And so I asked for a set of clubs as an individual game. you have to stay focused on your business. And all of the dads were saying, don't you get involved with the politics of the tour. You keep your head to the grindstone and you make your mark as a player. And the tour knew that. And so it was a difficult time once we really kicked that off, but there was a lot of interest.
So you started the Tour Players Association and got a lot of resistance.
Yes. We decided, there were two other guys, Mark Brooks and Larry Rinker, that were also, you know, very encouraging to me. I didn't want to do it. For the year that I came back out after, selling Royal Grip and coming back to the tour, I just wanted to play golf. And they said, oh, Danny, you're a businessman. You're the right guy to lead this. You know, we're just not getting the information we need. And so I finally said, okay, I'll do it for 2 years. And so I did. And, we tried to very professionally and very conservatively impress on the leadership of the tour, you know, Tim Finchem in particular, that we thought we had a right to see more about the comings and the goings and the financial situation of our organization. But they would have nothing to do with it.
And you are just asking for, you know, what a lot of players and media want, transparency. Yeah. A lot of players are asking for accountability, but you became the fall guy for this.
Well, I did for 2 years. They did plenty of dirty tricks to me, put letters in players' lockers over a player's signature that the player had never seen. Said to the board on occasion that they had invited us to come down and sort of present what we thought we would like to see, and then when it turns out the players, they never invited us. They told the board that they invited us and we no-showed, and of course they never invited us. So it was a disappointing time because the players, we had 75 players that had signed up, including Phil and several other top players, that just simply wanted to find out what was going on with our organization.
Including Phil?
Yeah, Phil was a member of the TPA.
How long ago was that?
Well, it was when the 2 years that we had the TPA, which was back in the, the late 90s, you know, in that neighborhood. He was just, getting started, but still had played very well. And we had other top players on that had joined as well and wanted to see the same things.
Interesting. It's just history kind of repeats itself, right? And you became the fall guy, as I mentioned before, and the PGA Tour thought you were doing more to hurt the PGA Tour than anything else.
All we wanted to do, Anne, was to look at our organization that supposedly we owned as a group of players. We wanted to have some transparency. It wasn't about showing anything out in the public or not. We just wanted to get the information. And their line for me was, Danny Edwards has done more to hurt the PGA Tour than anybody in history. And that, that hurt. But the interesting and very unfortunate thing that happened was after my 2 years, we had selected a fellow who had agreed to come on board and be the head of the TPA, one Payne Stewart. And I was on the practice green at Pinehurst on that Sunday afternoon, talking to our attorneys about the press conference we had scheduled in Houston at the Tour Championship. I was flying down there to meet Payne the next morning and introduce him as the new head of the TPA. And when his plane went down, tragically, that was the end of the TPA.
Wow, what a tragic story. We lost Payne in that crazy airplane accident, and he was going to Houston, correct? And to the Tour Championship and to meet with you.
Yes, he was going to go in front of the press, national press, and as our new president of the TPA.
Crazy, crazy ending to, tragic story there. So then after that happened, the TPA disappeared.
Disappeared. There was really nothing. It was just such a tragic thing. You just didn't feel like going on. And, of course, the whole situation was just a disaster. We had we went ahead and had a brief meeting, and Tim Finchem wanted to be in the meeting, and he wasn't invited, and we didn't want him there, and he wanted to be there, and he and Tom Lehman pretty much got in a pushing, shoving contest, and but that was the end. And so Finchem went on in and, you know, again, just kind of blasted me and everybody else for what we were trying to do, and that was the end of it.
And what did you, Danny Edwards, do after that?
Well, I was really kind of finishing my career on tour. I played a few more years, played through 2010, and then I kind of moved on to some other things, and business things, and just kind of moved on.
So you are a businessman, along with everything else, true Renaissance man that you are. Talk a little bit about the chipping equation. I know you, before that, co-founded Royal Grip, and now this chipping equation seems to be picking up a lot of steam.
Well, thank you, Ann. It is. I always agonized over the inability of my amateur partners on the tour all those years in the pro-ams, their inability to chip the ball. And I would ask them, guys and gals, what are you doing here? And they just kind of said, well, I'm just guessing, really. You know, they had a favorite club. And I said, where are you going to land the ball? They had no idea. So I wanted to do some research. I really wanted to find out if there was some science behind my notion that horizontal momentum is a much more predictable way to chip than the lofted clubs. So I commissioned the first ever TrackMan analysis of chipping in Denmark about 3.5 years ago. And what we found out was fascinating. The lob wedges are inconsistent because with slow swing speeds, with those high lofted 60, 62, 58, 56, the ball doesn't stay on the face. There's no compression. So, or little compression, so the ball skids. We've all hit a shot with a lob wedge that we're trying to hit it 10 steps and it goes 5 or 6. So with that information, I knew that horizontal momentum was a much better predictable way for people to chip. So what I did was I put together a very simple system. I wanted it to be super simple with two clubs and two simple formulas for carry and roll out. So that allows a player to step off the distance between their ball and the hole, divide it immediately by one of the two formulas, and know the right club to use. And so the landing spot then becomes a very manageable, predictable spot of maybe 4, 5, 6 steps. And if you get in the right setup and you chip that ball correctly, which is very simple to do, that ball will land on your predictable spot and the rollout will be predictable and the ball will finish right by the hole. So There also is a set of little modifications that go to it for the tricky shots, the short side shots, the uphill, the downhill, the false front. It's all about being able to calculate a landing spot that is close to you, that anyone can do, man or woman, boy or girl. But when you give a player a shot that's 60, 70, 80 feet away and say chip a ball to that hole, that's a tough call. It's interesting, professional bowlers, when they bowl, don't even look at the pins. They look at the little arrows 5 steps from them in the lane. And that's what their target is. Why in the world would we try to train golfers to hit a target 60, 70, 80, 90 feet away instead of having a formula where they can set up and chip a ball 4 or 5 steps and it'll roll out automatically? That's what the chipping equation does for golfers.
Well, it sounds wonderful. It sounds like something I need to read. It's all in the book, right? Driven, the Danny Edwards story, champion professional golfer, race car driver, entrepreneur extraordinaire, with Bob Denny, our good friend, and a foreword by Johnny Miller. Extraordinary book, extraordinary Renaissance man. Danny Edwards, thanks so much for being on the show and continued success.
Great. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.